saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, He is with us, oh be not dismayed, for He is our God, our sustainer and strength. He'll be our defender and cause us to stand, upheld by His merciful almighty hand. How firm our foundation, will press on enduring the darkest of storms. And though even hell should endeavor to shake, He'll never, no never, no never forsake.
That foundation in the world we live. Thank you, team. You guys may be seated. We need that firm foundation because this world is collapsing. Now, before we get back to our apologetic study and our dinosaurs, which I'm going to get to back today, we stop for 2 weeks. Excuse me. Sorry about that. We stop for 2 weeks because God put a message directly on my heart for the church. Before we get back to our dinosaur study today, I mentioned last week the anti-Semitism on the rise throughout the world. Well, this week it just exploded across the nation. Over 200 universities, colleges and universities, we had protests and riots. And I heard something on American soil that I don't think any of us would have ever thought we would hear. We've heard it overseas, but I hadn't really heard it on American streets until this week. So play the next video.
Thank you.
All right, did you hear it? What? Yeah, I don't know why they want to chant. What is it with all the chanting and repeating? It sounds so childish. But they do it at all these things. But the river to the sea. The river to the sea. Meaning the Jordan River, Mediterranean Sea, and what's in between? The land of Israel. The land of Israel. The land that God gave them. When you chant from the river to the sea, you're chanting for them to be slaughtered, for genocide. You're calling for another Holocaust. From America, we have freedom of speech. I understand that. But you're calling for the death, the genocide of all Jews. That was very mild right there. That was actually before, the week before things really started kicking up this last week with the protests and how that violent some of them got. But it was getting so bad that the Speaker of the House went and spoke before Congress, Mike Johnson. Next slide, Levi. He's like third, Speaker of the House is like third in line for the presidency, right? Right. So it's so bad that the Speaker of the House went to Columbia University to speak out against this tide of anti-Semitic push, and they were booing him and heckling the Speaker of the House as he tried to speak that all people in America are created equal. All people have the right to exist. Some of the videos had the college students calling cops pigs and mocking the cops and attacking the cops. Next slide, Levi. Genocide in Gaza by any means necessary. Now, what this means is, you know, after October 7th, where 1,300 Israelis were murdered, women were raped and tortured, and that was part of the process. Babies were murdered in the worst ways and beheaded. A couple of the babies put into ovens and killed that way. There are so much atrocities that came out on October 7th that the media has ignored or rejected or put out that these things are lies. They are not lies. And by any means necessary is the term, the saying that started coming out, that no matter what they have to do, whether it's raping and torturing women and murdering babies, you do what you have to do. That's disgusting. That is just beyond. And here are American citizens and ladies, women of all people, calling for Hamas to do more than what it did on October 7th, to keep murdering and raping. How can women be calling for other women to be raped? And a lot of people are saying that that didn't happen. Well, there's a new documentary out. It's not from Amir Safadi. Next slide, Levi. It's not he didn't put it out, but he put it out on his Telegram. I saw it actually hit Fox News this morning. It's on YouTube. It's free. And they do it very well. There's not any sensationalism in it. There's no graphic photos or anything. But they do talk to survivors of the massacre on October 7th. And you listen to the first responders. And they describe what happened that day. This was not an act of war. This was barbaric. This was just as low and evil as you can get. What Hamas did to Jewish people on October 7th. And if any nation, if this happened to us, any nation would go to war. And the war that Israel is doing in Gaza is one of the, it has been listed not just by our own government, but by the United Nations, as they even had to admit it. They are operating this war beyond any other military with the civilian casualty rate. Civilians, in today's modern warfare, civilians will end up getting killed, but militaries try to decrease that as much as possible. Well, Israel is doing such an amazing job that they're scoring better at that than the United States, Great Britain. Our military ends up killing more civilians than Israel is doing. All this stuff that is being told of the genocide, it's all lies. But when you listen to this, and I encourage you to listen to it, it'll break your heart. But it also will bring up anger, righteous indignation, that Israel has every right to destroy Hamas. And on top of all that, there are no such thing as Palestinians. There is no such place as Palestine. You can go back to our YouTube channel and listen to this sermon that I did back in, I think it was October of last year, Israel-Palestine conflict. It's the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies ever put out there. There was no such country of Palestine before AD 135, when the Emperor Hadrian, the Roman Emperor of the time, squashed the final rebellion of the Jews against Rome, decimated the area, forced most of the Jews out, and scattered them among the nations after slaughtering millions of them. And he renamed Israel Palestine to mock the Jew for their most ancient enemy, the Philistines. It had been the land of Israel for thousands of years before that. There is no Palestinians. Go back and listen to this sermon and you'll hear the truth. So this whole thing is built on a lie. Here's the truth. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, which would become Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed," because the Messiah would come. You do not want to be on the wrong side in this. God is with His chosen people, Israel. They are His chosen people. That is their land, given to them by God and paid for by David. And their blood has been spilt there for thousands of years defending it. There are no such thing as Palestinians. Every Palestinian is ethnically an Egyptian or Jordanian or Assyrian. So, with this huge rise in anti-Semitism, we are one step closer to the end when the whole world will come against Israel. This genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back in. Birth pains are continuing to happen. And birth pains continue to happen in intensity and in frequency, how many times. And we may go into a little lull here, but the next one is right around the corner. This year, if we're not a people of prayer, if you're not standing on a firm foundation, your faith is going to get rocked more and more as this year unfolds. And the end of this year, we better be praying, because there's not a lot of hope that it's going to play out well for us. There's a lot of things that are coming. So, as disciples, we need to be ready. You need to be standing strong. All right. One more thing before we get back to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." We need to understand what we believe and why we believe it, and we need to be able to help people find that hope. And we have to do that because there's been certain individuals, many, but certain ones that have made it their life's goal to come against Christianity, especially the new atheism movement. And one in particular that we like to mention a lot, Richard Dawkins, the author of The God Delusion. Now, he has spoken out against Islam and others, but his main focus for decades has been a full frontal attack on Christianity, trying to get people not to believe in the Bible, not to believe in Jesus Christ. And he has been quite successful at it. And for most of his time and the attacks, the church kind of sheltered in place and didn't want to engage. And these lies of the new atheism movement is just as bad as the old atheism movement. And they've gotten many people to believe in a lie. But lo and behold, I want to show you this. Play.
I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
This shocked the world when we brought this video out this last week. They're like, he has hated God. He has described God, the God of the Bible, in the worst terms. He has hated Christianity. And all of a sudden, he's a cultural Christian? Yeah, what is that? Right? But this is huge. This is a man. He's been on a crusade for decades to destroy Christianity, to get rid of it. And now he is reaping what he has sowed. He has seen the decline of his culture, of his people, being replaced with Islam. Because you throw the truth out, there's a void. What's going to come into the void? Lies. You know, I looked up the statistics for Great Britain. How many British claim to be Christian? 46% claim to be Christian. But less than 10% are connected to a church. Even less, I think it's around 4 or 5% attend church on a regular basis. They're cultural Christians. They like the culture, the hymns, and the Christmas, and all this sort of stuff. He said he's happy that less people are believing in it. But the less people who believe in it, then Christianity and the culture is going to go away. He's been sitting on a branch of atheism. And what he hasn't realized is that he's been sawing the limb. And now he's seen his country, his culture collapse. Because he's gotten people not to believe. So Great Britain is down to 2% who actually believe the Bible. And they have Islamic prayers being sounded out through Europe, throughout Great Britain. Cultural Christian. Can you have a relationship with Jesus and not be part of the church? Oh, silence. Can you be a Christian and have a relationship with Jesus Christ without being part of the church? Yeah? No? Let me ask you something. Jesus died for sinners, right? Romans 5:8. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Christ died for sinners. Do you agree? Okay. But Ephesians 5:25 says that Jesus died for the church. Did Jesus die twice? No. So what did He die for? The sinner or the church? Say it again, Jacqueline.
The sinner becomes the church.
You can't separate that. Jesus died for sinners to be saved, forgiven, and to become saints. And they were immediately made the church, His church. Holy Spirit comes in if you're born again. Holy Spirit comes in and brings a spiritual gift to you that you're supposed to use inside the church. And again, most Christians fail at this. And I believe many of you are failing at this. Many of you probably do not know your spiritual gift, and you're definitely probably not using it in the church if you don't really know it. But see, this is something we like to kind of conveniently forget. And I say it in all love and encouragement, because one day you're going to stand before Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, you're going to give an account to Him as a believer. Are you going to be able to give an account that you let Him manifest and develop the spiritual gift in you and you used it in the church? Or did you not take it seriously? You cannot separate your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, believe in Jesus Christ, and be walking with Jesus Christ and not be part of His church. They're one and the same. The church doesn't become your relationship, but your relationship makes you part of the church. You can't escape that. A lot of people want to try to escape that. A lot of them want to become cultural Christians. So, I just wanted to bring this out. Why do we do what we're doing? Why are we doing this study? Because of individuals like this, we need to be out there, as 1 Peter says, 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, what we have been looking at in this apologetic series is, does God exist? Someone says, how do you know God exists? Can you talk to them? Logically talk to them. And tell them how you know God does exist. Has God revealed Himself? Who is this God? Has God revealed Himself? And we know He has. And through two main ways. General revelation and special revelation. General revelation tells us that creation tells us there's a God. There's a creator. Everything looks designed. Even the atheists say that. Everything looks designed. But they say some naturalistic, unintelligent process called evolution and natural selection designed all life. But there's no intelligence behind it. That doesn't make any sense. So general revelation tells us through creation, there's a God. There's a creator. There's a designer. There's an artist. And then you have special revelation that shows us the mind and the heart of God. Special revelation, a supernatural book, authored by God, written by men, but authored by God, that we can go read, and this is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the very heart and soul, being able to divide the soul and the spirit. It comes in and changes us from the inside out. Special revelation from God. Then there was one more unique special revelation from God. Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? You look to Jesus Christ. So has God revealed Himself? Most definitely. Is the Bible the Word of God? Is it actually true? We talked about that and how we can prove the Word of God is beyond the creation of man. And it is true. There are no errors and contradictions. It is an amazing book. It's amazing scientifically. It's amazing in every way, especially the prophetic. And the Bible has told us for 2,000 years that towards the end, the whole world will be captivated with one of the smallest nations in the world, Israel. The whole world will be focused on this little nation that is the size of New Jersey. For 2,000 years, it's told us that, and here we are. Worldwide flood of Noah, how we've looked at all the evidence. The evidence has been there all along, but the enemy took the evidence and wanted you to see it in a different way and made up a completely false narrative to try to dismiss all the evidence for a worldwide judgment of God because of sin. But we looked at the worldwide flood of Noah and all the scientific evidence to support a worldwide flood. He is in charge. He is the God of this universe, and He is the judge. And He judged sin in the past. He says, I'm going to judge it in the future. And humanity better take notice. And you better respect the God of this universe. You better fear the God of this universe. You better repent, because the God of this universe has commanded us to repent. And He is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But those who refuse, those who want to stay prideful and in their sin, God will let you do that, but then God is going to judge you. There is no mercy from God on Judgment Day. There is just justice. And I'm telling you, folks, and I know not most of you probably, but you want to tell people, you don't want justice. You want the mercy of God. So then we talked about millions of years. Hutton and Lyle, the false theory of uniformitarianism. There is not millions of years, and that's a big problem for the evolutionists, the atheists, because you need millions of years to support their theory. And we showed how millions of years was based on complete lies. It's not based on science. And we're going to continue proving that wrong with this topic of dinosaurs. And we started this dinosaur topic 3 weeks ago. I did the intro. And now we're going to pick back up from that kind of intro I did. And probably for the next 2-3 weeks, we will finish out the dinosaurs. I have 171 slides in this presentation, so it's going to take us at least 3 weeks. Okay? So let's kind of pick back up where, when did the dinosaurs live? Well, look at the pre-flood evidence. This is where I kind of showed the intro. This is the biblical view here of history, 4,000 plus or minus years B.C., creation, flood around 2,500 B.C., and here we find ourselves today in 2024 A.D. Now, if this is true, and it is, dinosaurs and man lived at the same time, because we were all made on day six. All land animals and humanity was made on day six. So we should find evidence of them coexisting if the biblical timeline is true. If the geological column, millions of years, the atheistic, humanistic view of the universe. Now, if their timeline is true, there should be no evidence between dinosaurs and man, because all the layers are millions and millions and millions of years apart. And the dinosaurs lived around 70 million years ago. So the rock layer that we find the evidence of the dinosaurs, there should be no evidence of humanity, because humanity only evolved, Homo sapiens only evolved around 75,000 years ago. And we also learned that the coal layers, that they say the coal and oil were formed 300 million years ago. So we definitely should not find any human evidence in the coal and the oil, because that was 300 million years ago, right? So, which timeline is true? We'll find evidence together, or we won't find any evidence. I want to introduce you to an interesting term, OOP arts. Go next slide, Levi. OOP arts are out of place artifacts. This is a real thing. You can Google it, look it up. We find all sorts. We have, for a long time, we have found artifacts in coal. Now, Remember, according to the flood story, how many feet of plant debris do you need to form 1 foot of coal? 10 feet. So 10 feet of brush, of vegetation stacked on, 10 feet of it squished down to 1 foot of coal. And we find coal seams that are 90-100 feet thick. It's a lot of plant debris. So when that great big flood, that terrible day happened and ripped up all the plants and boom, and deposited everything and covered it immediately and started squishing it to turn it into coal, there were, according to the flood, human beings around, and human artifacts got caught in it. Here is a hammer that was found in a rock layer that was supposedly 400 million years old. Part of the hammer, the head, you see, has real sharp lines around it in the rock. Well, it looks like it was covered in some sort of leather casing or something to protect this hammer head. And that leather basically rotted away and left this pristine. It's not even rusted. Here's another picture. It says this in the article, and you can look this up. The wood handle, no one says that this is untrue. This is an artifact. This is one of those things they just don't want to talk about, so they ignore it. The wood is partially coalified, the handle. So it was running through a coal seam, the handle was, the end of it, side of it. With quartz and chalcolite and tests performed at the laboratory documented the hammer's unusual metallurgy. It's just not something with the kind of metal we use today. Density tests indicate the casting of exceptional quality. A unique coating on it appears to inhibit rusting. This is advanced metalworking found in 400 million year old rock layer. Now, we know they knew about metalworking from the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, before the flood, Tubal Cain was not just a person who worked in metalwork, excuse me, but he was an instructor. Pre-flood world was much different than most people think. It wasn't cavemen. They were pretty advanced people. Maybe more advanced than we give them credit for. So this hammer is not the only thing we found in rock layers and coal layers. Bell found in the coal. This is back in 1944. Homes used to be heated with a lot more coal, so people are handling coal a lot more than they probably do today. But, excuse me, I'm sorry. There was a brass bell found in coal that was coming from a 300-million-year-old layer. The Institute for Creation Research had the bell submitted to the lab at the University of Oklahoma. Analysis revealed that the bell contained an unusual mix of metals, different than modern today, technique. And here's a picture of the little bell that was found in a lump of coal. And I zoomed in on the little figure at the end of it. And Newton Anderson, who found it, took a polygraph test in 2007 to prove that it wasn't a hoax. And we got a copy of it, certified. Next slide, Levi. And there was no deception indicated. This is a little piece of jewelry, a little bell, found in coal. But it's not the only one. Go on to the next slide, Levi. There is a little bowl here that was found in a lump of coal. There has been this ornate bell that was found in coal. This was in 1852. Here is a screw in a rock. 300 million year old screw found. Who built it? Jewelry has been found. A gold chain was found by one lady. She saw it in her coal bin in her basement once the coal got dumped in. Because homes used to have little chutes, and they'd dump the coal in and go down in the basement, and then you go down and throw the coal into your furnace. Well, she saw a gold chain down there, and she just thought it had fallen into the bin. Well, she picked it up. Half of it was still inside a lump of coal, and she had to break it to get it out. And there's many, many more if you want to go look online and do your research. So coming back to the geological time scale, they say there's no way any human had anything to do with the dinosaurs, let alone the coal formation layers and what we find as human artifacts in that layer. It's because those layers were not laid down over millions of years. They were laid down in a worldwide flood. So you can definitely have human artifacts in those layers. But it's not just human artifacts. We have humans. One is called the Guadalupe woman. Now, she's an interesting find. She was found in a layer that is, 25 million years old. Get to that here in a second. But what's interesting about her, she was about 5'2", 5'3", they predict, but she was found with no head and no feet. Don't know why. But she was found, and a lot of people try to argue today and try to discredit this find because it was found back in 1812. Next slide, Levi. 1812, fully human skeleton was found, except for the feet and the head. Belonged to a woman about 5'2". What makes the great significance to this fact, next slide, is that the skeleton was found extremely hard, very old limestone. The formation more than a mile long. Modern geology dating places this formation at 28 million years old, which is 25 million more years than humanity. So they're trying to say humans here evolved 3 million years ago, when others say Homo sapiens only came around about 75,000 years. And then if you listen to other experts, it was about 100,000 years, 200,000 years, 1 million. Do you understand the point? Depending on who you're, what expert you're talking to in this field, they all have different ages for when humanity came on the scene. But no one says humanity was here 25 million years ago. So how do you explain the Guadalupe woman? And she's not the only one. There have been lots of humans found in rock layers. But I will say this, and I'm not a conspiracy crazy person, but there has been lots of evidence of cover-up by our government and other governments. Even the Smithsonian Institute, that'll probably get me barred from YouTube. Oh, by the way, you know that I forgot to tell you that Israeli-Palestine sermon I put on there? And I don't get a lot of views. I'm not like this popular person on YouTube. But they put a disclaimer. YouTube put a disclaimer on my sermon. That sermon is 100% truth. And you two put a disclaimer on there that doesn't even make sense. They put a disclaimer on that video of the Jewish Holocaust. So when you go to that video and you click on it and you read that disclaimer, it looks like I'm attacking the Jewish Holocaust. So a lot of people wouldn't want to watch it maybe. It doesn't make any sense, their disclaimer. It's just trying to discredit what's being said in that sermon. So yeah, there are forces out there in the world, and there have been for a long time, covering up evidence that doesn't fit the evolutionary time scale and theory. There have been lots of cover-ups, lots of lost findings. But we do find human body parts all through the layers, especially fingers for some reason. All right? The major fossil was found here, was found in the Paluxy River. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Found in the Paluxy River, famous for its dinosaur and human tracks together. This is in Texas. I have a picture up in my office of me and Levi there walking up the river that has dinosaur footprints, and it's pretty awesome. There was this fossilized finger found. And obvious, it's a finger. But there's more. Look at the next slide. Fossilized fingers found in rock layers that predate supposedly human beings. Next slide, Levi. Here's a fossil of a handprint. A human handprint. found in the rock layer that's 110 million years old and contemporary with the dinosaurs. Here is a human footprint and a dinosaur footprint. It looked like the human walked through first, and then a dinosaur came along and stepped where the human had previously walked. Here is another picture of a dino track and a pretty good sized human. Because, you know, evolution teaches us that we used to be these 3-foot monkeys, and we've gotten bigger and bigger and better through the evolutionary process. Well, actually, what the Bible teaches and science backs up is that we probably were a lot bigger and we've gotten smaller. The complete opposite of evolution. And where I tell you that there has been a conspiracy theory to cover things up, this is documented. It has been well known. But do you ever hear of dinosaur footprints and human footprints being taught in the public school system, in the university, the colleges? Has anybody ever heard of it being taught in the public government school system? Why? We've known this evidence for a long time. And it's been documented by professionals. We've known it along since early 80s. Some of this information. Some of it even longer. But next slide, Levi. Here is at the river that me and Levi were at, where you have dinosaur footprints going in one way and a human footprint trail going in the opposite, crossing over. And this has been known since the late 70s, early 80s. Let me show you this little video. Go ahead.
According to conventional scientific theory, no human beings were alive then to witness these events. Or were they? Over 100 million years ago, the limestone bedrock of the Biloxi River in Texas was a muddy plain. It was here that countless dinosaurs left their footprints to be fossilized and preserved forever. But the tracks of another creature have also been preserved in these banks, possibly the tracks of man. Archaeologist Carl Bau has led the investigation of these controversial prints for over 12 years.
My reaction was one of shock. I had heard of human footprints being found in this locale, on the Biloxi near Glen Rose, Texas, but I was rather skeptical. And here, after removing actual rock layers, the team and I excavated a series of dinosaur footprints. And 18 and one-half inches from one of those dinosaur footprints, we excavated a 16-inch human footprint. We excavated 12 footprints in a series. And when you find a trail with left-right pacing stride, the right distance apart, then you have to interpret this as belonging to humankind.
It's been claimed that the Biloxi River footprints are a hoax carved into the limestone bedrock as a tourist attraction.
Well, we found trails leading under limestone ledges and actually removed the limestone ledges one slab of rock at a time. And we found that both the dinosaur footprints and the trail of human footprints continued under the rock ledges. This evidence is real.
I first saw the Burdick print on my initial visit to Glen Rose in 1984. My impression at that time was that it was too perfect. But it's clearly a human footprint demonstrating the heel section, the arch, the base of the metatarsals, the first or great toe, second, third, fourth, and fifth toe.
After our examination of this print, we find that it definitely is in the Cretaceous limestone, in the same formation with the dinosaur footprints. Here we're looking at a cross-section, and we can see very obvious following contours under the great toe, and actually structures under each one. Where we see the calcite inclusion, the force was concentrated and produced these load-bearing structures, which are exactly what geologists look for. We have eliminated the idea that it's carved. It definitely is original impression in the sediment.
Controversial footprints. Why are they controversial? Oh, because the big lie says that humans and dinosaurs didn't exist together. Wouldn't be controversial if you read Genesis chapter 1. Man and dinosaurs made on the same day. Do you know what happened to these footprints? You can go to this park in Texas and you can still see the dinosaur footprints, some of them. They've left. It's pretty cool to put your foot down into a dinosaur footprint. Me and Levi did it. But do you know the human prints? What happened to them? Smithsonian came in and cut them out to preserve them. But some of them have been lost since then. And no one gets to look at them anymore and research them. I wonder why. Maybe the prince of this world doesn't want people to know this is true. Satan doesn't want people to realize the evidence doesn't support his theory of the theory that he has put onto humanity, the big lie of millions of years and evolution to take people away from their creator. He doesn't want the evidence to come out. Oh, you know how scientists try to explain this away now? That there's dinosaur footprints and human footprints in the same rock layer? Well, this is what they came up with. They're so smart. There must be a dinosaur that we still have not discovered. I kid you not, this is not a joke. There still must be a dinosaur that we haven't discovered yet that had human-like feet. They just can't go, well, maybe we're completely wrong on this millions of years. The theory that came out in 1830 before any scientific means was developed to test rock layers, based on a failed concept of Hutton uniformitarianism. Maybe we shouldn't be skeptics about the Bible. Maybe we should rethink everything we believe. But no, it's easier to believe in a dinosaur with human feet. Or, how did life get here? Because their DNA code is just insane. Oh, aliens. We have their feet. Quickly, Levi. We know what dinosaur feet look like. All right, we just got started. I still have over 100 slides to go, but we're out of time. So we will pick up from here next Sunday. I'm going to get you guys out of here at 12. I got less than a minute. Go to the last slide there, Levi. Last slide. Gordon training him on the computer up there. There you go, buddy. All right. Thank you for coming today. We will continue this study next week. I will be praying for you this week that you go out and be salt and light. That we have a world out here that desperately needs us to be sharing the truth with anyone we get a chance to. And be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And remember, Jesus is with you. He is our rock. He is our foundation. All we need is Him. And hopefully all you want is Him. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for today. And I thank you for my church family. Thank you for each one of them. Lord, I ask you to be with each one of them as they go out this week. Let us realize that this week is a week you have given us, Lord, to be able to seek you, to know you better, to seek your word, and also a week to be salt and light. So, Lord, I ask you to encourage them and strengthen them. Give them the courage that when they see an opportunity maybe to share the truth with someone or to help someone that they're ready to go, Lord. That no matter what the situation is, they're ready and they're willing to step out there and be salt and light. So Lord, I ask you to help us to make a difference in someone's life this week. Help us to help point someone to you, to strengthen someone else's faith, or to lead somebody to faith. Lord, let us not let a week go by where we're not trying to help someone find you. Help a brother or sister in Christ grow. Help a lost sinner, a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter come home. Because, Lord, it's getting dark in this world, as you said it would be. The deception is getting crazy out there, as you said, your word said it will be. But, Lord, we are those that are set upon the rock. And we, through your Spirit, cannot be deceived if we seek you and your truth. It is a light unto our path. So, Lord, I ask you to help us to walk that path this week. Help us to be your church, your people, your good soldiers. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? Because we can't break out sitting down. That's just too, that just don't work. That just does not work. That doesn't work. So, all right. So, 12:02, close enough. But thank you guys for being here this morning. I will be praying for you this week. If you need anything, please call her. Call us. Let's go get the job done. Let's go get it done. Let's be his church. Be his servants. Count of three. Let's break out of here. 1, 2, 3. Break. Let's go.